But it's in that we receive the same Spirit that Paul's prayer begins this whole wonderful letter in verse 9. Paul says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, since the day we heard of your faith and love, and that love for all the saints." It wasn't just some superficial love. I mean, you guys are in love with one another. You love, and when I say you're in love with one another, we're in love with Christ in one another. I'm in love with Christ in you. You're in love with Christ in me, if this is what you're after. If you think that that's something silly, you're not after this. You dwell together and you settle down in marriage, not just with a head. You're taking that body too. And you begin not to just take the body too. You love the body as the head, and you love the head as the body. I pray for all of us. But see, it says here, "For this cause, we also, since we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." I believe he's placed us in a time, precious saints. The rubber has hit the road. Are we strengthened with all might? See, that's full of the Holy Ghost. You ain't going to be happy right now unless you're full of the Holy Ghost. I'm just going to tell you, there ain't nothing in this world going to make you happy right now. But make you mad, going to make you sad, going to make you a lot of different things. But when you're strengthened with all the might according to the glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering, you'll have joy. You'll have joy. Because you'll understand the plan. You get your life, praise God. You understand how precise the Lord is for you. You understand exactly how we look, where we're from, the time that we've been placed in this whole scheme. It's to be prepared, praise God, for a wedding, to be presented unto himself as that glorious bride. And I thank the Lord that in that, you know what? We can have patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. I know people that know Paul's gospel. I know people that know the bridal message. But I'll tell you what, you couldn't tell. Because there's no joy. Amen. I want to be one that has full joy. If you're going to be a race winner, you're going to finish with a full joy. And this is what this is. And the only way that we can finish with a full joy, and the Lord's showing this more and more, this is grace that he's pouring out in this time. If our heart or our affections are set in the things of this life, there's no way to be joyful. It just can't be. You can't be. And God's making it real easy. He's making it real easy to look up. Amen? Never realized how much you're groaning to get out of here. Those are the fringe benefits of leaving this place. But it's the arms that we're going into, which is everything. Nothing to compare. So with that, let's go on now to chapter 2 and read verses 1 through 3. I might need my glasses tonight. My eyes are tired. It says here, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom, in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." I'll tell you what, Paul has an insatiable love for these folks, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. I mean, he loves them. He can't get his mind, his heart off them. And he's never met them. He never met them face to face, but he loves them just the same. He loves them like, I'll tell you what, they're the closest ones in the family to him. And it says here that it includes, if you notice there in verse 1, it's not just these saints, but it includes some saints in Laodicea. Did you catch that? Do you see that if Jesus is after a heart, it don't matter where that heart is. You know how people say, oh, well, it couldn't be real because how, you know, the people in China or the people over here, let me tell you something. There's people that love him. And I'll tell you what, he'll seek them. He'll be that missile of love just like he hit you. It doesn't matter where. If there's a heart, he'll meet it. And he does it in the fullness of what that heart will meet him with. And I thank God for that. But I want you to understand this. This incredible letter and all of the intent of it was written to those ones at Laodicea. All right? Now, this was about in 64 A.D. when this is written. Let's read, and I know we know most of us would understand what happened to this church at Laodicea. This is just 30 short years later. Turn on over to Revelation. It's just a little side note for us, because I'll tell you, in this study tonight, the Lord's going to bring us to some heights, but he's also going to tell us, beware. Beware. And here's what beware is all about. Laodicea received this same truth. They were rejoicing in this same encouragement. Paul had his heart to them, just like he had to these ones at Colossae that he's writing to. It was the same love message. It was that same encouragement of their faith and love. That same good report that was ringing in Paul's heart. But as it says here in Revelation chapter 3, and let's begin read verse 15. Let's see what happened to this church of Laodicea. This is 30 years later. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot, cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Do you think Paul was speaking and writing that letter to ones that were lukewarm? No. They were on fire. They were just like Paul. They were passionate in that love. But this is what can happen. You can become lukewarm. And he says, because you're neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have no need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. See, that's that wondrous word. That thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. How have they fallen? Amen. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I'll tell you what, by the grace of God, let's never neglect so great salvation. It's but for the grace of God, hallelujah, that we go on. And but for the grace of God, there go I. And we can see what happened. They got complacent. They got very complacent. They had no need anymore. Rich, increased with goods. What those goods could be a lot of things. We'll hit on some of those a little later on tonight. But going back now to our text in verse 2. Notice what it said there, 2:2. It said, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of full assurance of love and of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So it says there that their hearts would be knit together. What that word knit means, it means one mind, one purpose, and I love this, one conclusion. Isn't that wonderful? See, we get in here, and I'll tell you what, we have one conclusion we're after, isn't it? Isn't that the wonderful thing? It's a mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the conclusion. Hallelujah. It's really our beginning, but that's what it, again, that's the purpose of it. That's the mindset. That's why we come in here, and hallelujah, that is the mindset of all the riches of full assurance, of full understanding. Don't you love to be fully assured? Don't you love to be fully assured in the riches and understanding of what we're about to walk into? Praise God. And this is what happens, hallelujah, when hearts are knit together in that. See, God has graced us, brothers and sisters. This is why it is vital and it is important. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. As you see that day approaching, and I believe we all see that day approaching, do we not? You would have to be completely comatose as a Christian not to know this. But that day is approaching. And he said, the much the more as we see that day approaching. And not to forsake it. And praise the Lord that he encourages in that. But that's kind of a shame on us. My goodness, if we're really knit together and knit together in love, we shouldn't have to be that way. We should be running to get together in the house of the Lord. I've given that all the time. I mean, you know, when I was courting my wife and I was waiting for her to come from Texas, I didn't just show up at the airport when she was getting there. I mean, really, it was like, you'll get like they're getting there a day early. You want to see him. You didn't wait in a car. You got out. You ran down there. You were standing at not just the gate. You're standing there at the gate where the little thing that goes out there and gets the airplane and running up that ramp. And I kid you not. Paul longed to see these. Are we really following Paul as he followed Christ? Or are we just going through the motions and saying, well, I know this gospel. God help us. Amen. Let's get excited about this. Praise the Lord. I mean, my goodness, Jesus is in love with us. He's in love with you. I want to be in love with what Jesus is in love with. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I can't do that. But this word does it. This word does it. It turns something on in your heart. It ain't you. And you love people. You just love them. And you love people that love the Lord. You love souls. It's like these people trying to figure out, well, how are we going to work this out? Jesus. I mean, Jesus does it. It's Jesus. I pray things can be fixed in different ways because this system's broken. We know that. But I'll tell you what, the only thing that'll ever fix the heart of man is Jesus. I'll tell you, you'll love through, yeah. You saw one on a cross loving through all that. That's the love I'm talking about. Now, notice here, it's that love first and then the full assurance of understanding. Yeah, you get them both, you'll be mature. And you'll be mature in a relationship. See, without love, it's just the mind knowing something. See, I don't want my mind just to know this. No, what a waste. With love, it's the heart knowledge. With love, you move into intimacy as a husband and a wife. Without the love, all the mystery and all that faith is profitless. And by the grace of God, help us, Lord, not to run amiss, but to run in love to win. Amen. Praise God. Now, Paul gets right back here into the mystery. As he says here, isn't that wonderful? Verse 2. The acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now, we're not talking about different mysteries. They're all agreed. This is the triune God. Isn't this beautiful? This is the Trinity. And I thank the Lord how wonderful the encouragement is here. It's like it's a double portion of everything. It's that all that power is there. The purpose, the intent of the Godhead is in this, in Christ for us. In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and understanding. Isn't it amazing over and over throughout Paul's epistle? What's the focal point? What's the meaning of it all? It's the treasure of knowledge and wisdom and understanding of the hidden mystery that was given to the Apostle Paul. That's it. If we're to follow Paul as he followed Christ, read these epistles, read these letters. Over and over, it's my knowledge, my understanding, my wisdom in this mystery that was hidden from the sons of men, from the angels, from the prophets. It's hidden. But now. See, your time is now. But now, not only to him, but to us, it's been made manifest to us. Praise God. And this is the intent of all of it. And thanks be to God, we didn't miss it. But it says that this encouragement here would get into our hearts and to settle us down together in the knowledge of Christ and his bride. And isn't it amazing, even though we keep on hearing it, it never grows old. It just doesn't. I think as you keep hearing it in truth and love, it only grows more fervent, doesn't it? We grow a little bit more intent to win him, don't we? And see, that is the evidence of true love and first love, is it never grows old. It always is first. And it grows. Amen. And I saw it growing up in here. I marked them. I marked those that got more excited in the things of God. As a little guy, I'd see the likes of Sister Burge and a Sister Wilson. I sure did. And I saw ones like my precious Sister McGuire. Brother Hill, praise the Lord. You know, getting glowing, getting ready to take off. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful to see those rockets go. But this is where the ecstasy is. And see, and then immediately in verse 4, look at, we're into this, we're being just encouraged in this love. But in verse 4, what's it say? And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Here we go, and then boom. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the warning to us. This is what causes us to depart from being grounded and settled in faith and in the mystery of Paul's gospel. Enticing words. What that means is persuasive speech. I think there's a lot of persuasive speech going around. It's all I hear and all I've heard for a long time. I'm so tired of speeches. And you see how empty all the words are, but this is specifically speaking to the people of God. See, Paul explained what these enticing words were in 1 Corinthians, going over to chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and in verse 4, here Paul coming to these saints at Corinth, and here's what he says. He says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. It wasn't persuasive speech. It wasn't trying to tickle your ears. Because what is enticing words that try to tickle your ears? Man's wisdom. That's what man's wisdom is. But I came in what? Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And here's what that does. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Oh, God help us. Amen. We're in a real time of a battle right now. God is not exempt from any of this stuff going on. His power, praise God, this isn't even worthy to be compared to his power. Whether it's a virus, whether it's racism, I'm telling you, God is able. God is able. But I'll tell you what, that Abel is only going to be realized by them that believe. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What is the power of God limited to? Nothing. What can't the power of God do? Nothing. It can do everything exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. There is nothing hard for God. Oh, I thank the Lord for this. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them, what? That are perfect. Isn't that beautiful? See, this is the wisdom to the full grown. This is why this isn't going to be, let me tell you, if you don't have two sets of teeth, you ain't going to be able to eat this. You should know about the Shulamite. She's got two sets. Teeth all over the place. Because she's feasting on a double portion all the time. Amen? That's why you're covered up. Y'all got two sets of teeth. World can't handle it, can they? Amen. But see, this isn't this beautiful? See how the Lord ties this in? He just ties. I go where He takes me. We go where His Bible study goes. This is His Bible study. And I am telling you, this is like miracle after miracle every time we get in the Word of God together. How He so perfectly takes what He wants us to go into by His Spirit. And then it just keeps going. And it keeps going. Listen to this. How be it? So we're right here with the enticing words. And what does it bring us back to? How be it? We speak wisdom among them that are perfect. We're talking about the fully grown again. Not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? In a mystery. We're right back to that mystery. We're right back to Paul's gospel. That's what he's speaking. This is what's being preached. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained, which God had an appointment. That's what this means. With you before the world began unto your glory. Take it to yourself. This is how precise and specific this is. This is why you are hearing the hidden mystery doctrine. This is why it's been preached to you, because by the grace of God, you've grown up. This is growing you up. And praise the Lord, we have another appointment tonight that is working for our glory. That's a mighty thing. So, quit being swayed by a speech of man. Oh, stop it. It's all clear. The word cuts to the joint and the marrow. It discerns and it exposes everything. As Christians, we are either in love and want bridal truth to grow up, or you don't. One or the other. You either want bridal truth to grow up. You want this wisdom spoken to you in this mystery, and you'll settle for nothing else. Nothing else. Or you want to play around. Or you're not serious, and there will be every excuse under the sun of why you departed from it. Every excuse. But none of them will ever amount to anything except, I wish I had. Paul was serious about the Word of God. He was serious all the time. Never a moment of letting down. It was pedal to the metal all the time. There was no delaying, there was no doubting, there was no contemplating. It was just love and believe. More faith and love, more faith and love, more faith and love. All right, let's go on. Verse 5 through 7. Got to move. He says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit. Oh, here we go. We're joined and beholding. Now, brothers and sisters, there's deep stuff coming through here. Do not fade out right now. Press in. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit. Join and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. All right? As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Christ, in Him. Rooted and built up in Christ, in Him. And established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Paul was not with them physically, but he was with them in spirit, in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Beholding, look at verse 5, because this is some wonderful, sweet, deep things in here that are kind of hidden. Layers in there to go search out. And the kings have come to eat tonight, praise God. He says here, beholding your order. That word order means to salute and discern your rank and quality. To salute and discern your rank and your quality. Come on, let that soak in now. This is why he's writing this. This is why he's thrilled. This is why he's got such joy. Because these are the choice ones. These are the ones desiring the word of his grace to make them perfect and ready for a wedding. Hallelujah. Now, hang on. Because we got a word that says right after this, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. That means you're standing in Christ. Now, we talked about just a second ago the order, which was their quality and their rank. Well, we know that this is the first rank. We know this when you're talking quality, we're talking the rib cut. Isn't that right? Amen. This is the rib cut. Hallelujah. And where is that? It's in Christ and no other place. Now, I want you to look at this word steadfastness, because it's only found one time in the Word of God. And it's not a combination word. It's not from any other word or anything of that nature in the Greek. It stands all by itself. Yes, you can receive on the surface meaning. There's a standing, not moved. But it means a firmament and an arch of the sky or a rainbow. Okay, cherubim, you ready to go? I think you know where we're heading over to Ezekiel, so let's go. Ezekiel chapter 1. Remember, this word steadfastness means firmament and an arch of the sky. So who's he speaking of here? This order, this choice one, this rank. Praise God. Well, let's begin reading in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 22. Wish we could read more in this, but we're going to have to move a little bit. It says in verse 22, it says, now this is speaking of the cherubim here. And the likeness of the firmament, oh my, upon the heads of the living creature, there's the four living ones right there, was as the color of the terrible crystal, stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, one toward the other. Everyone had two which covered on his side. Everyone had two which covered on the side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty. Man. You know we have the speech of the Almighty? I pray you know it. We're like him. If you grow up, you'll be like him. The voice of the speech as the noise of a host. And when they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads. Notice how the firmament over their heads, over their heads, over their heads. That's a crown. That's a mindset. That's that knit together conclusion. That's what we have. This is the firmament, cherubim, that's just right over our heads. Hallelujah. This is our mindset. This is what we think of. The firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. Amen. We don't come in here and talk about the likeness of a palm in my hand. By the grace of God, we come in with the mindset and hearts knit together to be concluded to meet up in the midst of a throne. This is what this is. As the appearance of a sapphire stone. Go back and read in Revelation. John, come into there. Read about the stones. Oh my. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire about within it. From the appearance of his loins, even upward, and from the appearance of his loins, even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about it. They're in the midst of the throne, round about the throne. They're the fiery ones. They're above, they're there, they're everywhere. Wherever he is. As the appearance of what? Of the bow. There it is. The ark in the sky. That's what this steadfastness is. That's what this faith that I'm telling you, that by the grace of God, Paul is writing to of these folks. You have this faith. You have this wisdom. You have this understanding. And you're steadfast in it, honeys. Not just steadfast. It's steadfastness. It's only found once. This is it. This is where this word is. A firmament and an arch in the sky. This was the appearance of the likeness of what? Of the glory of the Lord. I speak this to the perfect. We just read that in Corinthians, didn't we? Unto what? Your glory. Let it all come together in Jesus' name. And when I saw it, and this is Ezekiel, I fell upon my face and I had to cast my crown. He's received his glory. Thou art worthy. Oh man, I don't know if I can stay in my skin tonight. Praise the Lord. Now, this is our mindset. Glory for him, in the throne, reigning with him, glorified together with him. Hallelujah. This is our purpose. This is our conclusion. This is what we're knit together in. The steadfastness faith, the faith of ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. That's the fully perfect grown in Christ. And notice this, going back as we close this out tonight in Colossians verse 6. This is, again, what's perfect and fully grown in Christ. As we have therefore received. That's talking to us. See, this is what we've received. This is how we receive this. Amen? This is how you receive this when you know Paul's gospel. This is why you get excited about this. This isn't just reading through the Bible in a year. This is knowing your birthright in the heights of glory. Praise God. This is what this is. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So as you've received Paul's gospel, walk in it. Don't go walking in other stuff. Don't turn over here, or I'll tell you what. You can go all the way down, and there's a church called Laodicea. And I'll tell you what. There's a ministering to that church right now. Repent. Come out of it. Huh? And what does it say here as we end up? It says, rooted, built up in him. Even more so, keep building up in that faith. Don't just coast. Established in the faith, as ye have been taught, and here it is, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So it's not just kind of, you know, let's just take it easy. I know what I know, and I don't need to know anything else. Huh? But established in it, hallelujah, as we have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Following Paul as he followed Christ, praise God, the only gospel. And you know what? We've been eating in this meeting for 85 years. I believe it just happened. Well, 84. We're going into the 85th year. Thank you, Jesus. But it's only getting sweeter. It's only getting sweeter because it says it. This is how it works. abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know what the word abounding is? Here we go. Perisuo. Abounding in this faith. Perisuo. Is perisuo just flatlining? No, it's not. It's ever increasing at an increasing rate with leftovers. It's exceeding abundant beyond and more abundant than that. That's what this is, and this is what he wants. And you know what happens when we do this? I'm with tonight, and those that are joining tonight, I'm with thankful people. Thankful. This world's going this way in thanksgiving, and we're going this way in thanksgiving. Praise God. See, that's what this is. But listen. I mean, so we're just, I mean, we're flying now. And here's verse 8. Beware. We're right back, just like we were in 4. Remember we had the first few verses, and then, here came verse 4. Well, here comes verse 8. What's it say there? Beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not, and I will say this, in Christ. That word after translates in. See, the things that were just listed will knock you out. It'll get other things in your mind. You'll have cares that will start to lay upon you when you go this way. Every time I've seen anyone walk away from the fellowship of Paul's gospel, you're always found here in verse 8. A wind of doctrine, vanity, traditions of men, it gets them every time. It'll get any of us every time. Philosophy is that head knowledge, science, theology, false teaching, tradition. All of that stuff is not in Christ. It's just not. It's not there. And that word spoil, it'll seduce you. I tell you what, faith is an amazing thing. It really is. And the power of the Holy Ghost is really amazing. Because you know what? The Lord put us in a vessel that really loves to be seduced with worldly things. This flesh would rather be seduced by worldly things than hearing the word of God. The flesh. But I got a new man. I got a new man. You got a new man. And we like to hear him. Even over what this flesh wants. Oh, sometimes it gets a little of its wants. But you know what? I learned not to worry about that. I learned not to even give that a second thought. Here's the mind of Christ. It's beginning to rain a crown right on my head. So I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters. Let's just be, by the grace of God, about these perfecting things in Christ. Amen. Let's just settle down in marriage, dwell together, grounded and settled, being reminded over and over, not neglecting so great salvation, giving the earnest heed to these things, the much the more, not being moved away. Still might be tonight. And if it isn't, it'll still be worth it. Amen. Sure love you. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand, be dismissed.